This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Wednesday the 7th of September. I tell you, I'm having a great time this month. And you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. So yesterday and Monday, I said I wanted to try something new. Let's call this New Caller Wednesday. What I want to do is I want to ask my regular callers, my faithfuls, the people who are committed to the public conversation, to pause on calling in until the 10:30 hour, roughly the 10:30 hour. Let's see if we can get some new callers on the line this week. And if we don't get any new callers by 10:30, then I say, please call in. I hope that, I don't want to say that the show is inspiring, but I got lots to talk about. And I'm thinking that whether you agree or disagree with me, you may want to share your opinion on the matter. So let me give you the numbers to call. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. I want to start off with some happy birthdays in the place. I got to say happy birthday to my cousin Abigail Butler. I got to say happy birthday to C. Allen Johnson, another Facebook friend, B. Azan Johnson. And to close it out, I know there's plenty other birthdays. I don't know all of y'all birthdays, but I do know today is the birthday of Rika Cargill from Hot 91.7 FM. Happy birthday, Rika. Happy birthday, Rika. I hope you are having a great, great day. And producer, I see we got a caller right at the top of the show. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. I called merely to congratulate you on what I think to be a very cerebral show, one that deals with issues, one that challenges the intelligence of Bahamians, and one that is very much needed in our country. I want to thank you for driving the initiative to make Bahamians think about issues and not respond emotionally and sometimes very foolishly to matters of serious public
concern, yes.
Proportions and concerns. Yeah. And so I can't merely to say that. And I wish you well. I listen to your show. I've thought of many times to call you and to thank you. I would have had an occasion to speak with you many years ago, but I believe that since that time, even though you were a very bright younger person, you've become an even more profound thinker in the social discourse of our beloved nation. So thank you again.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Absolutely. I am just grateful for this opportunity because all we can do is grow the conversation. We can't own it. All we could do is share our part. And what people need, they don't need to be chastised. They don't need to be punished or penalized, not even for their own ignorance. People just need opportunities of exposure, to be exposed to new things, new ideas, to juxtapose. Sometimes the spark hits when they hear their idea next to another person's idea. And sometimes the clarity is for them. The truth is for them, that we all pull different truths from this collection of conversations. And that's the best thing that we could do for each other. That's the gift that we give each other, is to provide a space for others to learn from us or with us. Producer, I see we got another call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Warren.
Good morning.
This is the first time calling for the show.
Thank you.
I just want to congratulate you on your show. I remember when you first came to radio, as the other caller intimated, that you were young, brash, and sort of a diamond in the rough, and you've become really sort of a refined gem. So I want to congratulate you on that. I don't know, are you hopping an open mic this morning? I just joined.
Yes, we can definitely do. I know it's an open line. I have some issues I want to talk about, but certainly bring yours to the table.
Okay, this is more of a housekeeping matter. Yes. I observed in my drive around New Providence. I'm sure a lot of people have other concerns. But there was an elderly lady who, unfortunately, was knocked down at the Marathon Mall. And I want to pass this out for the road traffic and the traffic police who put pedestrian crossing. The bus goes from north to south. That is from Wolf Road to
Robinson
Road.
Yeah.
There at the Mall at Marathon. Mm-hmm. And the bus travels on the east side of the road. Passengers get out and they cross the street. They have to cross it like they're crossing for their lives. I've asked the traffic people to put a crosswalk there. I've seen many people lost their lives there, and just this Saturday, an elderly lady was knocked down.
Yes.
Again, trying to cross from the bus, the east side of the road, over to the mall. The same thing happens on the south side of the mall when the bus is going west, from east to west along Robinson Road. People trying to cross from the park, Highbury Park area there, mm-hmm. above the school park, over to the mall. There is a death crossing, people trying to weave between traffic, and no one seems to really has picked that up as yet, or even the traffic police.
Yes.
So I'm calling if we can highlight that for the sake of bus and pedestrian people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It is. Okay, but congratulations on your show. You've become a fine thinker, I think even finer than when you first came to radio, or maybe you were always that thinker. It's just a matter of the way you intimated your thoughts. So congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you, especially for the spotlight on the traffic matters. Yesterday was the first time that I was on the road during after school time between 2:30 and 4:30. And let me just say this. I see you got a caller coming to you in a second, caller. Let me just say this. We sending these children to school for 8 hours plus a day. And the truth is, it seems like they unlearn everything the teachers are trying to pour into them in that space between school and home, right? It's the behavior is not modeling what students are being taught in school. And it's important for parents to understand that they are their child's biggest role model, the biggest mirror. Whether the children want to or not, they're going to mirror your behavior. And you're going to have a difficult time disciplining your own children. You're creating a difficult time for administrators and teachers, even community members, in terms of assisting and helping children to govern themselves, because they're constantly watching you break the rules and justify breaking the rules through your speech and your action. Let's get to this caller. Good morning. Caller, you're on the clock.
Glad it is dark in the west along with you here in pretty ice cream.
Good morning. Is this Bremen?
That's what's left of Bremen.
Ah, I was about to say. Your voice sounded a little different this morning. Good morning, Bremen.
Probably because I'm still in bed.
Understood.
But we need justice, law, and order in this country. Two things I want to talk about. One is, the information which that gentleman just gave you,
yes.
I think you should help by giving it to the Crown, the Inspector Lockett. That would help a great deal, give it yourself. You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Is that the officer in charge? Yes, okay.
And secondly, right?
Yes.
Yesterday, two different schools were fighting each other in the Marathon area. And it sounds so immature. Somebody allowed me to listen to it on their telephone.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I mean, it's just terrible to see the way those children would go to school are carrying on.
I got you, Brayman. Listen, I got to cut you. I was going to cut you earlier because this is new caller 15 minutes, but it's okay. I'm glad I took your call because I was alerted to a story just this morning that's indicating, and it has to be confirmed, although I saw an image that it looks as if what is being purported is true. But I got a report that there's a policy at R.M. Bailey now where the police officers who are assigned to the school and administrators are not allowing students to leave the campus unless they are being picked up by a parent or they are going directly on a jitney, right? And that's the report that I receive, people. I have yet to confirm this, but what was sort of added to the report was that the police indicated that students are essentially becoming a menace on the mall property. Right? That's what the report is. And on the surface, this seems like a very good idea, right? You're attempting to help the kids stay safe. But this is making me uncomfortable, right? First of all, can the school enact a policy like this on its own without authorization from Ministry of Education? And the next question is, can the Ministry of Education just enact a policy like this without going to cabinet, without consulting with other ministries like the Attorney General's office? Because it may not be illegal, but it certainly is a breach of rights of freedom of movement. And it doesn't take into account that some young people may have to walk. There is no parent that's going to come and pick them up. And there is no bus money to catch the bus. Some of these students may be walking to their job, right? They may be walking to pick up siblings, and then the whole family going to get on the bus and go home. But not just that. If there's a problem on the mall, at the mall, or at Wendy's, or any of the businesses on that compound, then surely it's incumbent upon them to devise and enact or enforce a policy. They can trespass troublemakers and have them barred from the establishment. They can, there are a number of things that they can do. They can enact a policy that between the hours of 8:30 a.m. or, right, seven from school starts till, say, 4:30 a.m. or p.m., no student can come in uniform, unattended by an adult, a guardian, or a parent. Or we need to assign more officers to that area, to that compound, in the period after school till evening, when the vast majority of students are no longer in the area. But just resorting to restricting their human rights is not the solution. Just because the government does it all the time, just because the government has decided that it will breach our rights versus spending the resources necessary to enact the policies that they want and to uphold the fundamental principles of the Constitution. Right? This is something that requires interrogation and more thought. It requires a solution. No doubt, there is a problem. And I'm not just talking about, oh, menacing, you know, raving, marauding students. No. It's still our job to protect young people from themselves. Right? It's still our job to keep the community safe for everybody. Just on another note, also the story with CC Sweeting and the, I think, electrical issues, reason why they have been closing early for the last few days. Let's just get it sorted out. Let's prioritize. It's already difficult for young people growing up. It's even more difficult for them in their microcosms of the world called schools, right? Let's make this process of learning as easy as possible for people. I also saw another video of a teacher using a student as a model for other students. And let me just say that students have rights, and we should not be policing their natural hair, boys and girls. And perhaps the Ministry of Education needs to release a policy for all schools so that they understand what the students' rights are and what the teachers' restrictions are. Also, like I said, yesterday is the first day coming back through school, driving and being on the road through school traffic. And it's madness out there. I just could be honest with you. There's no productivity. There can't be any productivity after parents return to work from dropping children off. It can't be none, because there's barely any productivity on the road itself. And we're losing a lot of time, a lot of energy, and just gaining a lot of stress because we refuse to see ourselves as a part of a larger system of traffic. People in the road, on their phones, sluggish. They got 2 and 3 car length gaps in between them and the car in front of them, causing intersections to be blocked up. You're on your phone while you're driving your own children. And there's a particular problem with after-school pickup. And it has to be said again. Private schools are charging far too much money to educate children if they cannot figure out how to moderate the behavior of parents and guardians and people who pick up students at the end of the school day. You can't even convince them to be kind to other parents. You can't convince them to be kind to other people's children on the school campus. Schools have to take a greater responsibility for their impact on the communities that they're located in. And again, the question of a roundabout on Village Road has to be raised to the national level, not just the community level, because what if at the end of the day, the most effective solution is simply the moderation of parents' behavior? Dear caller, I am sorry I lost you on this fine new caller Wednesday. If you find it in your heart to call back, I'll find it in my heart to talk to you. I mean, I begging. Call back. So I got two texts here. This is so typically Bahamian. The schools are trying to prevent students from being killed, and we complain. No. We're not complaining. That's not what we're doing. We're not complaining. We're pointing out more effective strategies, solutions that actually align with the mandate of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Ministry of Education. We're asking that things be done in the proper way. That's all. We're not complaining. I can talk about complaining in a minute. Yeah, I see we got another call on the line. I don't want to lose you, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
Everything good. Good. I come to talk for something with something. It's similar to what you're talking about, but not all the same.
Okay.
Right. I have a little niece who inside the Nazareth Center, and they refuse to put her in school. They say she have brittle bones, which know the family know a long time, but she was already in school when they take her from my sister and for whatever reason they take her from afar. I wasn't around. I was off the island, but I just come back. I've been trying to get them.
Okay, cuz this is a very, very serious matter. Leave your number with the producer, and I'm going to get you in contact with a lawyer or with the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic for free legal advice. This seems like a very, very serious matter. But don't call the name of the establishment. That may jeopardize your own goal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right?
I mean, because I didn't try going even as far as up to the Ministry of Education and, like, the secretary them. They have an attitude when they answer in the phone and thing. You try to explain to them the situation and they shortcutting you and talking to other people while they trying to talk to you and
yeah.
Things. So I say, man, the only thing I can see myself doing, because I ain't got no money, I people just go public and bring it on like radio stations and stuff like that to see if I get some type of help in another way.
All right, so here's what to do. Give the audience your contact number, and we're going to throw it out there. You're having an issue with your special needs family member and their enrollment in school. And you need not just advice, but you need some legal support to help you ensure that this child is able to go to school and get the resources that it needs, right?
Yes, Mom.
All right. So if you don't want to put your name on the air, give it to the producer, you know, name and number. Give it to the producer, and I am going to ensure that your I can call you, and we're going to get you connected to the Disabilities Council.
Okay, Mom.
All right. And I feel heartened in this because just last night on the R News coverage, there was a story of the journey of special needs or disabled civil servants, right? And they have finally, I think they've been made permanent. Some of these people have been made permanent. And the story talked about the sort of journey from joining the force to becoming, well, you don't technically join till you're permanent, I think, but to becoming permanent civil servants. And so it appears as if the thinking and the culture around disabilities in the workplace is shifting, which means we're going to see a shift in the culture around disabilities in schools. And Pumpkin Eater, I hope you listen in. You're one of the people I am going to reach out to. Another text here that says, great show as usual. I will say what Miss Green don't want to say. Some of your kids too rude and lack social skills. See why I ain't carrying my kids to government schools. Miss Green, why do schools let kids leave high school with a leaving certificate in government schools if private schools will repeat you? You could be 59 in the seventh grade because if you are ill-prepared to face society, you will be in seventh grade with your children in seventh grade. There is a difference in policies. And I think, now this is something that I've talked about for years. Social promotion has become entrenched in our public systems. It's something I think, maybe I'm not old enough to know the root of it, that developed in the public service, in the government system. No, sorry, my bad. In the school system, where students who didn't meet the mark were promoted because they felt the need to move them socially with their peers, right? And that perhaps those students who fell short of the mark could catch up in the next school year. But with the absence of substantive and real mechanisms to support these young people, they're never going to catch up. They're never going to catch up. And so this policy of social promotion needs to be stopped. Again, it's an instance where we're prepared to sort of suspend or disregard a citizen's human rights for a more efficient and expedient solution for the government. They're children. Their brains haven't developed properly. In fact, your brain doesn't stop developing until you hit 25, well out of high school. So yes, they are jelly-brained. No, they don't have any good sense. Yes, they are depending on us to model sensible behavior for them, to expose them to what it is they could and should be doing. We don't just give up on them just like that. Even though, like, I agree with you, some of them are rude. To rotted. I hope that's not a cuss word in Jamaican patois. My apologies. But what I'm saying is sometimes, but they're hormonal. They're hormonal. They don't have any good sense. And that's why it's our job to protect all of them. That's why this idea of unlawful sexual intercourse is not sitting right with me. All right, I got a text here that says, Aaron, good morning to you. You are doing a good job, but I want us to deal with the illegal influx of immigrants who are coming and taking over or possessing our land, and it's a strain on our social, educational, and healthcare services. If we don't act now, we would have a country. We won't have a country. All right, text, I got you. We talked about that yesterday. I'm going to touch on it a little bit right now. See, watch this. I appreciate what you're saying, right? This idea that there's a strain on our social, educational, and healthcare services because of the added numbers using the universal healthcare system, right? The universal education system, right? The universal water access system. But these migrants, if they are working, documented or undocumented, right? They are paying taxes because that's the way that our taxation system works. They're definitely paying taxes. The question is, are they pulling out like a commensurate taxes? Are they pulling out and using as much as they put in? I got you. I appreciate what you're saying. It's a thing that has to be managed. Even the fiercest pro-migration advocates are also advocating for reform in the visa systems, in the labor systems, right? To facilitate more legal migration. But guess what? Let's talk about strains on our social, educational, and healthcare services. We got developing, if not fully developed in this country, this thing called educational apartheid, right? That's like segregation in education. And it's a big problem. First of all, because I live on the in the greatest country on this planet, which ensures universal access to education for children. And yet, the country that provided the environment, the grounds for the end of apartheid in South Africa to allow educational segregation in this country, this is a heinous thing, right? But let me tell you what's happening. We talk about a strain on our services. What we've had over the last, I'd say, dare say 50 years, let's call it 40 years, 10 years for the honeymoon to wear off, the effects of the honeymoon to wear off, the independence honeymoon. What we see constantly, and I may have been a benefactor of this, you know, but people are taking opportunities intended to grow citizens, to grow this country. And they're taking those opportunities to grow their own children into viable citizens for other people's country. We're taking the opportunities, the educational opportunities in particular, that are intended to grow this country, and we're giving them to our children to the exclusion of others so that we could prepare our children to be citizens of other people, them country. I agree with you. If we don't act now, we won't have a country. But I think we just focus on different perspectives, you know, on where the problem sits. Because I'm looking at the Tribune Business today, and I see this article, this headline that says $63 million Adelaide project pledges up to 300 jobs. And it says that these are intended for middle-income housing. Middle-income housing. I see here the government is building 300 homes in Abaco, and I ask the question, who can afford the mortgage? Who will be able to afford these homes? I see we got two callers on the line. Producer, let's take these two callers and let's go to a break, and then we're going to get back. I even talk about what I won't talk about yet, which... You know, I just get excited, too. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, you know, my mind is always on the walkabout. Yes, what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I'm hearing all of these talks, and the thing is, what we're doing wrong is we're not talking to any of the children from the schools. I agree with universal education, right? Of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you're not talking with any of the grade ones and the preschoolers just to interview them to see what their psyche is all about. I, like I said, from grade preschool transition to grade one would be most affected. Now my young daughter's saying, why is it that school is every day now? So I explained to her, no, it's only 5 days a week and you get the weekends off because she was used to the three-day paradigm during the scamdemic from preschool. So they are mostly affected and they're not used to that. And I was trying to find out if they actually have a play, like a recreational lunchtime. And so she's opening up to me. And so I'm looking at all of that compounded with the digital divide and the educational divide with the private schools and the public schools during the pandemic. The government funds the private schools. So maybe they should fund them less, even though I went to government and private schools on either side. But what I'm saying is they have to look out for the majority. A lot of children are being left behind. You see it, they didn't give any demographics on how much children are to repeat, et cetera, et cetera. We're not even talking with the grade 12s and the grade 11s. We sit and we talk as adults, but we don't bring these people on to hear from them and see where their ideology was. Because I was surprised when she said, Daddy, why is it that school is every day now? Because she's not used to it.
Yeah.
She has to get used to it. But we know with a three-day paradigm, and then compounded with another factor in which she had to miss school because she simply had a cough. So that was weeks off or just a week or so off and then go back the next week and she got another cough a couple months later. Wait. So we're not looking at these things. So I'm looking at this children falling behind as a trilateral problem. It wasn't just, you just can't blame the children and talk about, oh, they're dumb, because they're not dumb.
Yeah.
They know big words. They can't even spell and they can understand things that they don't. But what I'm saying is somebody has to be blamed. It is a compounding factor. We need a multilateral solution.
Yeah.
And we see that the former PM, along with the educational system and lack of innovation, you know, we're just sitting and talking, man. You know, these children, this is going to affect us down the line, you know, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Without
a doubt. These people are joking.
Without a doubt. And let's look at the lack of focus on a culture of appreciation for education. How y'all think this has worked? Why y'all think companies like Coca-Cola, who is the leading soda company in the world, I bet you they're the leading soda company in the universe right now, and they're still advertising, they're still doing marketing. For the, this is the word ubiquitous, these fancy big words. Anyway, for the like most popular beverage on the planet, and they're still doing marketing. We still have to focus on growing a culture of appreciation for education. And not just in the students, in the parents, in the teachers, in the vendors that provide the supplies for the school, in the people who feed the children so they could understand that they need to stop feeding children snacks. They need to stop feeding them things that come in crinkly bag. Children need a better nutritional foundation to take advantage of the space, the time, the teaching, all of that. Let's see, we got another call. Producer. All right, let me read this text dead quick. Miss Green. Call out the country, Canada and the USA. We grooming our kids for those countries. Right, it's like 52 said, it's a multilateral thing, right? To be honest with you, we only grow in nurses for that market. We're only growing nurses for that market. That's what we're doing. And we say thank God for the Bahamians who don't want to leave. And they want to stay because we cannot or will not divert the resources necessary to pay people what they can get in the wider market. We have to prioritize it. They say it's like capitalism, right? It's like cultural imperialism. You have to figure out how to make the Bahamas the most exciting prospect in the minds of Bahamians. And you certainly got to do it with the children. You got to do it at a foundational age. I want to say thank you to Audrey DeVoe and Cheryl Carey and the Methodist Youth Summer Program and the Anglican St. Anne's and the Vacation Bible School, because it was in those spaces that I determined, or they tricked me into believing that the Bahamas is the best place in the world for me. It could be a scam, you know, but it's an excellent scam, and it worked. Producer, let's go to a break. Let's see, the caller came back in. Is that line working? All right, if that line isn't working, I got another text here. Aaron, I appreciate your empathy, sincerity, and love for your fellow human beings. It's quite refreshing. I mean, it is refreshing, you know. It's like love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more. And one of the greatest gifts is like to be able to pull that out of the ether. To feel refreshed, to be able to do that without anybody else's help. And sometimes just wanting to help other people can do that for a person. All right, let's get back to these notes. All right, the text says that they're leaving because people don't pay in Nassau. You know how much you would make doing a talk show in the U.S.? You could be like Oprah. Yeah, that's a part of it. A small island place. We don't have as many people. We don't generate as much money, right? But there are more opportunities. There are more people to compete with, but there are more spaces to compete in outside of the Bahamas. But it's not just the pay. It's not just the money. And money isn't the primary factor in this thing that we call the brain drain. It's a spirit drain. Right? We live in a country where we tell our children, if you were a woman, if you were a female, you born a female of the sex, that two women can't live in one house. When you become a woman, you got to go out. We tell the young men, you can't be no man and turn no key in my house, and I's the man. So we tell our children. We've entrenched it in our culture. But we also live in a country where the vast majority of citizens and residents cannot afford a mortgage. And even when they can afford a mortgage, they can't afford insurance for the house or for the children or for the car. You know what I'm saying? They don't have sufficient health coverage. That's a part of why people leave. Not only can they not afford to become adults, we refuse to allow them to be adults in our presence. Dare 3 score and 10 gang, I don't bend to my cradle crew. Y'all refuse to let people be adults. You force them to make adult decisions, but you refuse to allow them to exercise their authority as adults. That's why so many people on the road ignoring every single control that it is, that there is. We got a rape culture problem. We got a problem with people who don't respect the word no. They don't care about or understand what consent means. But you don't see that on the road. You don't see that. People refusing to acknowledge the right of way, refusing to stop at stop signs and red lights, refusing to stay in their own lanes. I want to say good morning to that handsome fellow in his big, dirty SUV this morning that exited Faith Avenue from the entrance, the inbound lane, to cut off traffic, to then bully his way around the roundabout. I hope that you got to your good job in good time, because at least you weren't the boy. Producer, I think there's a call on the line. At least you weren't the boy who decided to exit Tawny Darling Highway to go across Blue Hill Road from the westbound lane, and then had the audacity to run on with good people in the government road. But you wondering why the children and Wendy's and the, you know, and they at the mall and they here and they there and they can't behave? Because I was driving past a school and somebody leaving that area. Now, they may not have been coming from the school immediately, But the person just ran the stop sign in front of me and then had the audacity to thank me for facilitating them breaking the rule in a school zone after school with children in the road. By the time these children leave school and get home, they've unlearned everything that the teachers have tried to pour into them. If that line is good, producer, I'll take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. You know, when you talk about this social promotion in school, mm-hmm. and that's the truth. You know, when I was growing up, I guess I can be 67 in October, going to Oakfield School, it's certain words that you have to spell. You know, one of the words I could always remember, content, you know, of the books. Mm-hmm. Say, come, how I recently learned, come on, Nettie. Tell Eddie not to stop. Some teacher never eat till 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And the word beautiful. So that going from grade 4 to 5, you had to know those words. And then you had to know your timetables. And what really got us learning our timetables? Sometimes you had to write from 1, 2, 3, 4 to 300 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time you finish writing that, you can remember that and you had to say it as you write it.
Absolutely.
But now, you know, some of the children today, they don't know their first time, the second timetable, third timetable.
Yes.
And so it's a social promotion, and that's what is causing the problems in school today. You know, they just, because they need the space in the classroom to put the new people that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sending them to other grades, and they really don't know anything. And getting back to the home, you know, when we're growing up, someone always come on radio talking about poverty.
Yes.
In one sense, it's my habit's way. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. Sometimes I had to eat cornflakes with sugar and water, and that's it.
Yes.
But we never went out and robbed because our parents taught us value and morals. If I don't give it to you, you don't go and get it. You bring home a pencil, I didn't give it to you, you take it back to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is the home. Then you used to go to bed in the night. What's the only thing you used to get? Tea and bread, right?
Well.
And you were satisfied with that.
Yes.
And you, if they put food, I don't want that. But you can go to bed hungry.
Yes.
And if you want to eat it later, they ain't going to warm it up.
Yeah.
You couldn't sulk and say, I didn't want that. They should take one whole chicken and feed 12 in the family, 10 in the family, cut that backbone up and everything and white rice, and you throw butter on that. That was it. And people, we were satisfied when we got those things. Now, Sunday was the big dinner.
Yes.
You see?
Absolutely.
Okay, then.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's important to understand this perspective. I will say I never had to go to bed on tea and bread and, you know, rest my head, be satisfied. But when I stayed with my grandmother on East Street, it was hot dog and boiled egg for breakfast. No cereal. Hot dog and boiled egg for breakfast. But, hey, at Grammy's house, you get coconut macaroons. Don't get them in Johnson Road. So there's always a trade-off. But we need to hear these experiences from each other so we could get a sense of how people lived and why they feel the way that they do. It's important for young people to know that one of the leading judges in this country, when she decided that she wanted to practice law,
if you'd like to make,
she told her family, look here, we're going to have to eat Vienna sausage for a year, and prepared them for it. And the whole family was able to benefit from the sacrifice that they made as a collective. But if you don't know the story, you may just think these some bougie, privileged people that don't know nothing about struggle. And maybe eating Vienna sausage for a whole year is not a struggle for some people. That's their everyday norm. But it's also important to know that people in different circumstances are also prepared to make sacrifices and that you could do the same thing. Okay, I got a text here, Miss Green. Ain't no way government-built houses supposed to be so expensive, especially if it's crown land. Low-cost houses costing as much as houses built through the bank on private purchased land. That's right. That was a misnomer. First of all, you're right. Government-built houses should always be less than other homes. That's what I say. It's just me. But it was never a low-cost housing initiative. It was a initiative that allowed people who would not qualify for a mortgage in a traditional bank to qualify for a mortgage through the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, to have access to the same, to the home at the same price that it would be sold for in the private system. Another text, can someone give me a call, please? It's about an urgent matter that the public need to be advised about. Taking down your number, text. All right, another text. Hey, Aaron. You know y'all family was always considered rich on the Fort Hill. Yes, Texter. That's why I always talk about the privilege that I sit on. That's why I always do that. Even though my Grammy wouldn't let me come off the side porch. You see that? Look at how that is, right? I gonna always be painted with this brush. Fort Hill, PLP, da-da-da-da. But would you know Corinne Mitchell never let me go off the side porch? Not even the backyard. Right? See, privilege is privilege is privilege. I would have been privileged to be able to experience life on the Fort Hill here. It seemed like such a wonderful time. Such a beautiful place for Bahamians. But Corinne Mitchell said, no, sir. Not Lila Green, daughter. Not no Fort Hill adventures and excursions for you. Which, I can be honest with you guys, on my list today, I did have the story, the unfortunate story, condolences to the family of the 50-year-old mother who was killed by a bull shark while snorkeling with her family at a popular spot near Key Off, New Providence. Notice I didn't say attacked. I mean, she was certainly bitten and died as a result of being bitten by a bull shark. Attacked makes me feel like she was sitting in the car waiting to go on the boat and a gang of raving sharks happened upon her and killed her. All I'm saying is that we need to shift our perspective on these things, which will, I think, yield more effective results. There are a bunch of questions we need to ask ourselves. Should all snorkeling and shark dive experiences require a medical capacity, right? Should all shark dives occur within cages? Should we make it mandatory that any shark dive, the participants have to be in a cage? Do we need designated snorkel areas that we have ocean wardens and environmentalists? They track these areas regularly for shark migration and population numbers. Do we mandate insurance policies for high-risk excursions? Do we outlaw shark feedings? Do we assign beach wardens, like I said, to patrol the keys? And let me make this point. The incident did not occur on Montague Beach. Montague Ramp was the nearest ramp to bring the passengers to land. But I have to make this point. Over the last 2 years, 3 years, I've seen an uptick in people fishing, long line fishing, not long, long ocean line, but rod fishing on Montague Beach from the rocks. You can't fish where people swim. Now, I will note that they look like non-nationals and not Haitians. Let's not get on that run today. They look like non-nationals. They may be unaware, but that's why we need beach wardens. So they can go out there and give them a first warning, give them a second warning, then confiscate all the equipment, and then bar them from the beach. And if they refuse to follow the rules, we have to restrict their access to the country. Because Montague Beach is one of the last beaches left for regular, degular, poor people to go to. And we're not going to let privileged people come out there and destroy the use of the beach by thinking they could come there and fish. Like I say, the bite, the attack, the killing, it did not take place at Montague Beach. But this is behavior that we have to look out for. Okay, I think I am all out of time. The text here says, why y'all swimming with sharks? I say, that's why I go in the water with my tennis on. Texas says, all of Mrs. Mitchell's daughters and granddaughters were too beautiful to come off the porch. That's a vibe. Hey, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Texter. Thank you. A text, I was wondering when this would happen, not wishing it, but how idiotic. Right to the east of the beach is the fish cleaning and conch slip throwing in the water. That will definitely attract sharks. The government needs to consider moving the fishing place near Montague to another location. No, no, there ain't no fishing place. It's just people who think that they could go fish on the rocks in the swimming area. Last text, and then I got to go. Aaron, you ever used a kerosene stove or a lamp before? Before the PLP, that's what people had to use. You say that like that's a bad thing. Right now, them Family Island people would love a kerosene freezer and a kerosene refrigerator and stove. Did you know the world was run off of kerosene for 7 minutes? Sometimes, it's true. We're dragging our people into a future that they're not prepared for, and the government cannot sustain. I'm all out of time. Sorry the show started late. And sorry it's ending late. Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. I'll see you tomorrow when we're on the clock again. Have a great day, Bahamas.